Thank you. Josiah, you are not dismissed. Please stay. So cute. Okay. Hello. It's good to see you. Just a quick fun fact about me. I would say, actually about my mom. So I would say that my mom is actually a prophet in denial. So the first day that the day that I moved out to New Jersey, I was living in New York. I had just graduated college. My parents helped me out to move in. And afterwards, we decided to grab a meal together. And we went over to BJ's right over here. And so at the dinner, we're waiting for our food. And my mom, she turns to me and she looks at me and she says, "Catherine, I need you to promise me one thing." And so I'm like, it was so random. I was like, where's this coming from? And she looks at me and she says, "Catherine, promise me that you won't become a pastor." And at the time, I was like, what are you talking about, right? Like, where is this coming from? That's so random, right? Like, it's not even a thought on my mind. Like, what are you talking about? And so I just think it's really funny as I stand up here today, and even as I serve the youth, that God's will be done in your life, no matter how hard your mom prays against it. Amen. But also, God's will is also for unity within the household. And so, since that time, God has completely transformed my mom. He has completely, he knows, he has completely transformed me. He has transformed our relationship. And today, my mom is my greatest intercessor. And so in that way, she's my greatest ministry partner. So praise God for that. Let me pray before we get started. Jesus, we thank you just for your presence here. We ask that you raise up and that you call forth your kingdom builders who will take the transformative power of the gospel into the world and impart it into this world. And Jesus, you're the only one who can transform lives. And so we're not here just to go through our Sunday routine, our Sunday ritual. We're here, Lord, to be transformed as we dwell in your presence. And so Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, be exalted, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Recently, I was at a friend's bridal shower, and I'm sure you've experienced this if you've been to a wedding or you've been to an event where, people are walking around, chatting, doing their own thing, and then someone goes up to the front with a little glass, and they go clink, 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 and they say, "May I have your attention, please?" Or if you have an iPhone, you get those random emergency alerts, and it goes, it's really loud, it goes beep, 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 and it totally interrupts everything you're doing, whatever you are focusing on, and it just demands your attention, because there is a matter of utmost importance. And so the message today is actually a moment like that, where I believe God is waking up his people and waking up his churches and waking up nations and saying, I need you to stop what you're doing and please pay attention to what is truly of utmost importance. And so to see what that is, what truly is of utmost importance to God, we're going to be looking at the book of Haggai. And yes, that is a book in the Bible. So I'll give you a couple extra minutes to look for it. The book of Haggai. So if you can turn to it. Whoops. So I've actually come to really like the book of Haggai because it's a lot like me in many ways, as you'll see. It's super short and easily missable, but still awesome. Amen? Amen. So even though Haggai isn't really... So even though Haggai isn't a book that's really known or referred to or talked about, I believe what God spoke through the prophet Haggai then is actually very timely and relevant to us today. And so it is a moment where God is really going clink, 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 may I have your attention. And so just to give a little context and background before we get into it. So God's people have just, they've returned to Jerusalem. They returned to their homeland, to the promised land, after decades, 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And so the Persians came, took over the Babylonians, and they set God's people free. They say, you are free to go back to your home. Go back, rebuild your lives, rebuild your nation. And so that's what they did. This is where they are. They came back to their land. And the people do, they do start to rebuild their homes and their lives. And when they get back, right, like their city, their nation was completely destroyed. Everything was demolished. Everything, it's decimated. And the temple of God that stood there, the temple that Solomon had built as a dwelling place for God, as God's house, the temple where people would go, God's people would go to worship and to honor him. And the temple was the appointed place on earth where God chose to manifest his presence and commune with people, with humanity. That temple was also completely destroyed. And so the people go back and they do start rebuilding, and they end up rebuilding the foundations of the temple. But what ends up happening is the people face opposition from Samaritans, from people who are like, we don't want the temple to be rebuilt. And so they face opposition, legal action, different things. And essentially the people, they get discouraged. They lose their enthusiasm and their zeal to rebuild the temple of God. And it says that for 17 years, which is the same amount of time it takes for you to raise a child and send them off to college, 17 years, the temple of God, the house of God, is left untouched. And the people of God, they shifted their energy and their focus to rebuilding their lives and their homes and livelihoods instead. And so actually it's right here in this time, in this context, that Haggai shows up with a message from God. And this is what God says. So verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says, these people, my people, right, the people of God, the people who say, I am their Lord, they say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. The Lord's temple. It's not time yet, right? It's not time yet to rebuild the temple. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, while my temple remains a ruin? And so panels, right? Panels were very luxurious details that you would find in palaces and in the temple. But they have finished building their own homes. It doesn't say they're in the process of it. They're living in their homes in comfort and in luxury. They have panels in their homes while God's house, while God's temple was still in ruins, and God's calling them out for it. But when you read this, you know, you can say, but God, that seems a bit harsh. Right, that seems a bit harsh. These people have been in captivity for years. And when they came back, they had literally nothing. They had nothing, their homes, everything's destroyed. And so it makes sense that the people would prioritize building their homes where they need to live first. But God's saying no. Right, through Haggai, he's saying no. You got your priorities. My people have got their priorities screwed up. You are to build the temple of God first. And to that, we might respond, but God, aren't you a God of love? Right? Aren't you a God? Don't you care about the lives of these people and where they need to build over your temple? Over your temple. And so we need to understand the heart of God in this passage when he says this to his people. God's condemnation was not directed. It was not about people living in nice homes. His condemnation was not about an unfinished building structure, but it was that the unfinished temple, that the unfinished, his unfinished house. It was an outward reflection of their inward attitude towards their relationship with God. Again, the temple was a space for them to worship, to commune with God, a place to offer sacrifices and offer offerings and deal with their sins so that they could be in right relationship with Him. It was a place to honor Him, and it was neglected. That space was neglected. It was a reflection of their misplaced priorities. They're building, you know, the forefront of their concerns were building their own homes. You know, like all their energy, all their time, the best of their resources were allocated to themselves, to their comforts, to their luxuries. And it was not, they were not concerned about building God's house. Also, the lack of urgency to rebuild the temple, it showed, it was a reflection, outward reflection of their spiritual lethargy and their indifference to their spiritual connection. They didn't realize that it was reflecting actually their relationship, their attitude towards their relationship with God. We also have to remember that it was actually a privilege to build the temple. David was the one who originally wanted to build the temple for God, and God did not allow him. God said, David, you have too much bloodshed on your hands, and so you're not allowed to build my temple. It was a privilege to build God's temple, and they were forgetting that. They weren't realizing that. Not only that, the temple itself, before it was destroyed, and when it would have been rebuilt, it would have actually served as a witness to the world, to the people around them, that, hey, our lives are centered around God. Our lives are centered around worshiping and obeying Yahweh. But they were completely unbothered that the temple that represented all these things that serve these purposes laid in ruins. And instead, what we see, they're making excuses. They're justifying the choices of their priorities. Like, you know, it's not that we didn't want to build the temple, but it's just that it's not time yet. You know, we want to build the temple. It's just, we're going to do it when it's the right time, and it's not time yet. And so this is when God shows up through Haggai and is like, clink, 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 may I have your attention because I have an announcement. It's been time to rebuild the temple. It's been time to rebuild my house. Not only that, that should have been first. That should have been the forefront of your concerns. Because what is and what has been of utmost importance to God is and has been our utmost devotion to Him. And building the temple of God first would have represented that. And so, to tell you the title of the message now, the title of the message is, May I Have Your Devotion. May I have your devotion, because that is what God asks us to prioritize always, is our devotion to Him first. Just going throughout history, right from the beginning of creation with Adam and Eve, He doesn't ask them explicitly or tell them, hey, devote yourselves completely to Me. But He does act like He gives them a choice to. He gives them a choice to trust Him fully, that His ways are higher, right? That His ways are good, and to trust that He's not withholding anything good from them. To just walk with Him, to obey Him. But they don't, right? And through Moses, before the people enter the promised land, Moses tells God's people, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And he says to impress this onto your hearts And not only impress it onto your hearts, he says to impress this into every aspect of their lives, every aspect of our lives. And then Joshua reminds the people of the same command. He says, love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments and cling to him and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Give him your utmost devotion. And fast forward, we know that Jesus reiterates this, that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Through Haggai, God is waking up his people. And he's saying, you are forgetting that the very reason your nation fell and you were exiled and in captivity was because you broke this very, you disobeyed this very commandment. That because you have turned your devotion from me and you have turned them to worthless idols. And but by my grace, right, by my grace, I have brought you back to your land to give you a second chance to rebuild, to restart your nation. But this time to do so completely devoted to me. So if you turn your devotion from me again, the very lives and the homes that you're working so hard to rebuild right now is being built on extremely shaky ground. Build the temple of God first. Your devotion to me comes first. Realize that God turns to you and me in this moment, and he says, the same goes for you, Sean. similar to God's people in Haggai, we're actually in a similar place where we're returning back to normal after the pandemic, where we're starting to settle back into our lives. And although, like, we weren't in captivity, it was also a time of extremely restrictive freedom. It was a time of great loss, and it was a time of great shaking for the world. And by God's grace, the pandemic really has dissipated, and, you know, things are pretty much all lifted again, and businesses are resuming, and we're just so eager to go back to how things, like living our lives again, and just our concerns are going back to what they were before the pandemic, right? Like for kids, like it's going back to school, your grades, worrying about college, you know, what school to get into, activities. For adults, it might be just concerns going back to your jobs, vacation, travels. Whatever it is, it's kind of going back to what they were before. However, we cannot forget that the entire world just witnessed and tasted how fleeting, how fragile, and how feeble all these things, all these concerns that we're returning back to are. Our jobs, education, even our health and our life itself, the liberty to enjoy the pleasures of life, they can just be stopped, right? They can just be taken from us, and it's so out of our control what happens to them. And so the question is, has our attitude towards these things, have they shifted, or are they settling back to what they were before? As the world is so eager to rebuild their lives again, God always wants our hearts to turn to him and to his concerns. We too, as God's people, actually have a temple that is being built and that needs to be built. Apostle Paul says, God's temple today is no longer a physical sacred building. But God's temple today is God's sacred people. It's you and me, where his spirit dwells. Individually, it is the temple. God's temple is our hearts. Our hearts where God's spirit resides. And so I want to ask you, what is the condition of God's temple today? The condition of our hearts. Are they spaces that are fully devoted to him, that truly love him with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strengths? Is it a place where he's honored and prioritized? Even for our families, are they spaces and our churches where truly what God desires is our priority? And God, through Haggai and to us today, is warning his people, don't lose sight of what matters most. Don't lose sight of what matters most. Build your lives centered around me. Because a life that is centered around me, built, centered around me, completely devoted to me, is a life that is being built on ground that is unshakable and eternal. And so we're just going into how do we live a life completely devoted to God? And the first we see is that it's going to take honest confession. Honest confession. So verse 5, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in purses with holes in it. Give careful thought to your ways, and in humility, reassess your priorities. Be honest. Where is your time? Where is your energy? Where is the best of your resources being allocated to? Are they being spent and are they directed on things that are, it's never going to satisfy? You know, it's never going to be enough, things that are temporary. And be honest, have our ambitions and our lifestyle choices, have they been selfish? And what I mean by that is, have they been made without any thought of God and God's will? Honest confession, what are your priorities? What is the disposition of your heart? Number two, it's going to take repentance and obedience. Repentance and obedience. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Repentance, turn from your ways, turn from what you were doing, okay, and reprioritize your life centered around me, putting me first, and building a life fully devoted to God, a life that loves him with everything that we have, that takes effort. It says, right, go to the mountains, bring down the timber, and build my house. It takes effort to center your lives around God, to make that time, you know, to away from your comforts, away from your family and friends, to just spend time with him, to connect with him, to practice listening to his voice, you know, to go into the word and just worship him. It takes effort. And for me, there was a season where God was really calling me into a deeper level of intimacy with him. And so, you know, after work, I would go just where I could be by myself with him. And I would be so tired, I would just show up and then I would fall asleep. I said, you know, God, this is the best I have. Like, this is the best I have to offer. And I would just fall asleep. But I kept going back. And little by little, like over years, and I could say today that time of just connecting with him, it has evolved. It has completely transformed. And, you know, there have been so many amazing things that have happened in my time with him. And this time with him now, for me, like, I need it. It is life-giving. It is the source of life. And I am desperate for it now. Like, I need that time with the Lord. But it takes effort to build that. To bring God the best of your resources, right? Your finances, your energy, and your time. That is going to take effort to make God the priority and the center of your families. Even that is going to take effort. Where God is the center of your marriages and, you know, your household is a place where you are modeling and building up kingdom. That takes effort. Parents, you know it's not easy to raise disciples who truly love the Lord, love and know the Lord, and who walk in his ways. Repentance and obedience. And the last thing that it takes to just live a life fully devoted to him, and the most important thing, is that it takes the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. Verse 14, so the Lord, it says the Lord God, he stirs up the spirit of his people. He stirs up the spirit of the governor, of the high priest, and of all his people. And it says that the people came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty. And I love the end part, their God. It just shows the shift of their heart disposition, that they're revering the Lord as their God again. And it is God who stirs up their spirits to rebuild and complete his temple. Solomon, who actually built the original temple before it was destroyed, Solomon says this in Psalms 127. He says, unless the Lord built his house, the builders labor in vain. Again, unless the Lord builds his house, the builders labor in vain. And he is talking about our lives, and he is talking about our families. He is talking about our churches and this nation, that as a temple, as a people of God, unless God builds our lives, unless God builds this church, unless God builds your families, the builders labor in vain. You know it takes the Holy Spirit to have a healthy family, for us to be whole and healthy ourselves. We need his Spirit. And God, like we're saying, calls us to wholly devote ourselves to him, to love him with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. But realize that our ability to do that, like, we don't have the ability to do that. That we're only able to love God because he first loved us. 1 John, it says, we love because God first loved us. And so in order to love him, we need to receive the love of the Father. And so even right now, just receive God's love for you. It is an immeasurable love. It is an everlasting love. It is a faithful love. It is a pursuing love for you. Receive it, because when you receive his love, not only will you be able to love him well in the way we're supposed to, we'll be able to love our families well, we'll be able to love others well. And we'll be able, and everything else will flow out of that. The provision, the blessing, the peace and the joy flows out of that place. There's an evangelist named D.L. Moody. I'm sure you guys have heard of him. And he says this quote, that the world, actually, can I invite the worship team up? Thank you. Slowly but really quickly, come on up. So he says this quote, and it says, is it up there? Sorry, I'm lost. It's not working. Go. Okay. The world has yet to see what God can do with the man fully consecrated to him. The world has yet to see what God can do with the man fully consecrated, fully devoted to him. But I'm here to say, kind sir, D.L. Moody, Mr. Moody, I disagree. I disagree. Because the world has seen what God can do with a man fully consecrated and devoted to him. And his name was Jesus Christ. And he came fully devoted to fulfill the Father's will. And he came not to build up his own life, not to preserve his own life, but to devote himself to the Father's will. And he laid down his life for us so that through him, for all eternity, all humanity has salvation. Amen. He has changed the world with the man fully consecrated to him. And Catalyst, I am here to say, I'm not here to say, Jesus is here to say, when he was on the cross, he said these words, it is finished, right? It is finished. Because he had done, he had devoted himself to the Father and he had fulfilled God's purpose for him on earth. It is finished. But he looks to you and to me and he says, it is not finished. Your assignment, your purpose, it is not finished. Go and make disciples of all nations. And what does that mean? Disciples are people of God who love him with all their hearts, souls, minds, and strengths. People who are fully devoted to him. Our assignment is not done. We have a temple that is being built. We have an assignment to go in to the nations and to make disciples, but it has to start with us. It has to start with our wholehearted devotion to him. And so we're going to go into a time of worship right now. And so if you can just worship him, you just start now and just worship him wholeheartedly. And we'll go from there.